Hi, guys.
Hi, Tish.
Taoiseach, so glad you're here. We've got something exciting to show you.
Cool it, Concannon. It's no use. We thought Emma might distract people.
Yeah, but
I'm afraid Stratcom, like the snow, has gone into complete meltdown.
Oof.
We're going to have to shut you guys down.
No!
I don't like it.
I'm too young to be seconded to some boring department in the civil service.
Forced to do almost no work while getting the same great salary and pension for life.
No!
Look, Taoiseach, this will all blow over. People will forget about Stratcom when they can't even get enough water out of the tap to make a cup of tea.
I want good news, John, not more totes bad news.
Of course you do, which is why we made something really special.
What?
Quentin, hit play.
Okay.
It's just loads of aerial shots of Ireland, so what?
Shush, just listen, man.
Once, there was a country with a particular set of skills.
OMG, Liam Neeson, what a ledge.
Skills it had acquired over a very long history.
Oh.
Skills that made it a dream for multinational corporations.
Yes.
If you relocate to Ireland now, that'll be the end of it. We will not look for you to pay taxes. Yeah. We will not regulate your activities. But if you don't, you will have missed out on the Haven.
The Haven?
Yeah, the Haven. It's like the Gathering, but for multinationals.
But what exactly is it?
It's nothing, Taoiseach. Just like the Gathering was nothing.
Just like Project 2040 was especially nothing.
Just hang on now, guys. Yeah. This is exactly the problem we had with 2040. We can't keep selling people nothing. We have to start showing them real, decisive leadership and meaningful change for the better. I'm sorry, guys. My decision is final.
Sorry, what?
You guys are done here. Tish out.
Taoiseach! OMG, guys. What actually just happened?
Yeah, John. Is he, like, for real? The Strategic Communications Unit basically invented Leo Varadkar.
Yeah.
He's nothing without us.
Yeah.
Guys, gather close.
Okay.
I was afraid of this. Yeah. We've been spinning so hard for so long. Ugh. Leo got sucked into the vortex. He's completely spinstitutionalized.
Not? You're not saying that...
Yes.
No.
He actually believes he can run the country.
I think I'm going to... Quentin!
Oh, no!
John! What are we going to do, John?
I don't like it.
Welcome back to the Limeline. Forbes has put out its billionaires list, which featured nine Irish people with wealth in 10 digits. It make you feel sorry for RT broadcasters with mere six-figure salaries. Terrible. Our first callers, an anonymous billionaire on a dodgy mobile connection from the Caribbean. Good afternoon.
There's nothing dodgy about the mobile connection here.
Mm-hmm.
I built this network from...
Sorry, try again there, caller. I think the line might be corrupt. Corrupt.
If you say the words dodgy and corrupt again, I'm going to sue...
Hold on, is that... We've lost our caller there. And what's this? Just been handed a letter ordering you to cease and desist from talking about... God, they act fast, don't they? Anyway, now, the newest Irish person on the billionaire list is... Michael O'Leary. Michael, how did you do it?
Well, Joe, when you grow up in a corrupt socialist banana republic whose mouth-breathing population starts mismanaging its money once it makes its holy communion, it's not that hard to rise to the top.
Sure, go on.
But what really pushed me into the 1 billion club was a bloated Marxist state broadcaster with the efficiency of a Soviet civil service, which gives me unlimited time to talk about what I want, when I want, increasing my brand awareness in ways that no marketing money possibly could.
Uh-huh.
You should be charging me, but of course that's too close to capitalism for you Leninist Bolshevik Trotskyite Montrose.
But anyway, you're in good company on the list, Michael.
Well, yeah, there's Dermot Desmond, who has pals with Haughey and is an owner of Celtic Football Club, making him the most Irish billionaire imaginable. Then there's the Collison brothers.
Yeah, who are they?
The Collison brothers from Limerick.
Who?
They always appear in these lists, then everyone forgets they exist straight away.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I already forget who I'm talking about.
Line three now, Minister Fiscal Donoghue, go ahead.
Another gobshite. Good afternoon, Joseph.
Sure, go on.
Now, I was at my local news agent in Phibsborough on Wednesday, buying a wagon wheel and a Capri Sun, and the shopkeeper left me 5 cents short in my change.
Five.
And I was hoping he could get me the money back on 5 cents Friday.
5 cents? Now, we're talking about billionaires here, Minister. Billions.
Well, I just want to say how Ma marvellous it is to have a new billionaire in the country. Mm. And I want to assure Mr. O'Leary that we won't be taxing him from now on.
What do you mean you won't be taxing
him? Hold on a second. I'm happy to pay my share of tax, mm, even if I know the government will blow it on some pointless, antiquated socialist institution, mm, like a hospital or a school.
No,
thank you very much. But if we looked for tax from you, then we'd have to look for tax
what?
From all the billionaires. And that would be a lot of work.
Joe, that okay. sounds like the stupidest thing I've heard since the stupid man baked himself into a stupid cake.
Okay, all right. We have to leave it there. After the break, we'll be talking to a Cabra mother who's having trouble opening a jar of mayonnaise. Bye, 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 bye.
Right. Hello there and a very good morning. Joining me in studio to discuss the Disclosures Tribunal, we have Mick Wallace, TD.
Forza, Torino! Just watching a match here, Marion.
Former teacher again, Kenny.
The boyo's back in town.
And joining us on the phone, because he doesn't do daylight, Alan Shatter.
Good day to you.
And don't forget me.
My apologies. Also on the phone, Labour leader Brendan Howland.
I'm not on the phone. I'm right here.
Mick Wallace, what did you make of Sergeant McCabe's evidence?
Pass it! Well, listening to the evidence and reading Michael Clifford's book,
right,
which I'm in a lot, by the way. That's offside!
Right.
I couldn't help but notice there were no pictures in the book, Marion. Oh, what a miss!
Marion, I'm also in Michael Clifford's book, though my name is spelled wrong.
Right.
Hello?
Cow Chatter, if I could come to you.
Yes.
With the amount of new information, you must be feeling at best vindicated and at worst very hard done by.
Well, I never felt I had a case to answer.
Oh.
There's no blood on my hands.
Right.
Well, there is, but only because I didn't have time to wash them before the phone rang.
Marion, if I might come in here.
Mick, do you mind if I have a look at the match as well?
I would like to remind you that it was me, Brendan Howland, without a G.
Very good pass. Well done.
Who introduced the whistleblower's bill.
White!
Oh, white! No.
And who first raised the issue.
Oh, that was close.
Goodness sake!
Endicetti, cold comfort for you, given that the scandal ended your career.
Well, that wouldn't be accurate at all. And you can tell, because I'm doing that low, whispery voice, that I'm actually quite concerned that the people listening to this programme might be misled by the tone of the discussion.
But your hand was forced, so to speak, by the whole...
I left because the time had come for me to explore new opportunities. My international profile had risen in the wake of my speech in the White House, the one that went viral on the FaceTime.
Was that the one of you playing air guitar? That was
No, the time I called out Donald Trump.
However, he's still here and you're not. Funny that.
You take that back, Count Shatter.
You have to concede, though, that your departure was entirely predicated on developments in the McCabe scandal.
Well, I had opportunities.
Like?
There was a cake sale in the primary school that they wanted me to open. There was the,
Right.
I had to keep an eye on the washing while Fionnuala went to her ICA meeting in case it rained, you know.
Moving on. After the break, we'll be talking about the water shortages and asking, whose fault is it?
The guards!
And remember, if anyone out there wants me to sit on a board or something, just phone Castlebar 397 and leave a message with the operator.
Order, order.
Deputies, deputies, if you don't settle down, you'll have to make up for the days you missed because of the snow. Thank you, Deputy Micheál Martin, Leader of the Opposition.
What opposition?
Deputy McDonald, I did not laugh at you.
Deputy McDonald, any more of your snide asides and you will leave the house.
Ooh. Are you for real? Sean for real?
Do not go all mean girls on me, Deputy. Are you chewing gum?
What?
Can call the use of advertisements to promote individual Fine Gael politicians is a grave misuse of government funds. If he was to post his advertisements on the YouTube, he wouldn't even have the option to skip it after 5 seconds.
So this is the most venomous attack from a snake in the grass, Cancora.
I resent that analogy from the Taoiseach.
Snake.
Although a snake is, to be fair, very good at maintaining its svelte figure through a protein-based diet and energy-efficient metabolism.
I do concede that the debate over the Strategic Communications Unit, or STRATCOM, as we call it when we're kicking back over Inez, it is a distraction. But we've come through the worst shit, the worst snowstorm in 30 years.
Disgrace.
And all you want to talk about are my homies. I mean, my Stratcom, which isn't mine.
Hello, Deputy McDonald.
He shook your own party general secretary. I mean your own department general secretary. Sorry, maybe that's a Freudian slip.
Fake news, Mary Lou. Fake news times a thousand.
You smug git.
What?
Sorry, Cian Corla, another
that Freudian slip there?
Come on.
Deputy Martin.
The Taoiseach, we've been here before. When our party went cray-cray on the advertisements spending too. But I apologise on 211 for everything we did for the previous 8 years. So our slate is as clean now as my digestive system after the kale smoothie. You have a case to answer.
Well, can I just say, mistakes were made.
At last.
Though not by me.
What?
It was like that when I got here. And anyway, what we should be talking about at this time of national crisis is the snow. Did anyone see the Instagram of me in my Montclair ski jacket?
Deputy Paul Murphy, there is no need for a megaphone in the chamber. We can hear you perfectly well. Now hand it over here.
If Murphy had been willing to pay water charges, then maybe they'd have run out of water by now.
Hello,
Deputy Breed Carpenter.
Count Carla, the Taoiseach's expensive brown Thomas jacket is indicative of the fat cat bigwig bourgeois boulangerie attitude of this fascist regime.
I call upon Deputy Breed Coppinger to withdraw that outrageous remark.
Taoiseach, that is my job. I call upon the deputy. Deputy is... Deputy...
Okay, hold on. Shut up.
Which one is the volume, Deputy Murphy? Order. Are you still chewing gum, Deputy McDonald? Stop.
Good evening and welcome to the BBC News with me, the last sane man in Britain, Hugh Edwards. Our top story tonight, Brexit everywhere and no one stopped to think. We're joined in studio by Secretary for Cutting Off Our Nose, David Davis.
All right.
This week you said that contingency plans would remain in place because a deal with the EU could fall apart at any time.
That's right.
Are we back to Mad Max scenarios?
Well, is a Mad Max scenario that bad? People really liked Tom Hardy in the last one.
What?
But England isn't quite dusty enough for Mad Max. We'd be more in line with The Road.
The Road.
But a British version. You know, Richard Curtis's The Road.
Right.
Yes, it's terrible that he's eating people, but Hugh Grant maintains his quintessential British attributes, a stiff upper lip, a floppy fringe, and the willingness to torpedo his own economy.
So Brexit means cannibal Hugh Grant?
No, I'm saying it won't mean that, probably.
David Davis, I'll let you show yourself out.
I don't know if I can find the right way.
You can say that again. Meanwhile, in Dublin, Donald Tusk had this to say about Theresa May's recent speech on the B-word.
I am glad Mrs. May is able to say words. However, she has yet to fashion them into a coherent sentence. We will patiently wait for Mrs. May and her cabinet to run out of jingoistic inanities to spout. And when they've finished telling us what they want, we will tell them what they'll get. Yes.
Also in Dublin was Irish Foreign Minister and man repeatedly mistaken for a coat rack, Simon Coveney.
I'm delighted with the negotiations so far. The British incompetence makes me Simon Coveney almost look professional. Ha.
The Irish tea shop had this to say.
There's been some tremendous progress. 3 months ago, we had a cast iron guarantee that there would be no hard border. And today, that looks like a 50-50 chance. So well done us.
And back in England, the Minister for Foreign and Extramarital Affairs, Boris Johnson, opened his mouth and these words fell out.
Well, England, Albion, that is to say the great state of Britannia, will be made greener and pleasanter by Brexit. Comely maidens serving warm ale to soldiers home from the war. Which one? Who cares? We can even start more once we're outside the EU. Perhaps even invade Brussels itself. Ha ha! Quavers! Oh, is that the Tinder machine? Oh no, just another dreadful economic forecast. Diddums.
That's all we've time for. This is Hugh Edwards, here in person, but in my mind, drinking Pimm's in Brittany. BBC News.
So brown, Sean, so earthy. Yeah. It smells like hope and its very presence in the room feels like a hug from your favourite granny. And the most wonderful discovery, you can burn it.
Well, thanks for that, Mary Louise O'Donnell there on her first encounter with turf. Des Kyle is here with sport.
Huge weekend for rugby, literally all to play for the Viva tomorrow when we take on Scotland. Michael Corcoran has been assessing Ireland's chances.
Sexton Murray, drop goal, try conversion. Oh, flower of Scotland, come wither and die before the giants of Ireland. Nail me to a cross, it is accomplished.
Yeah, Michael will be providing live commentary on that game on Radio 1 because we're pretending it isn't on the telly, something we're having to do a lot these days.
Hope Michael makes it through the night.
A busy weekend in the GAA with most of last weekend's postponed fixtures rescheduled. Dublin play league champions Kerry. Now, the Kingdom's real fear is that they might match Kerry's 5-in-a-row record someday. Random O'Shea has been telling us.
Well, I sure look at, you know, it is a quality.
Kerry have got off to a slow start in this campaign. Dublin hasn't put a foot wrong. You know, I've got to do an Italian bishop giving out about Mary McAleese after this. Can we just get a move on?
Sure look at.
Random O'Shea there, talking through an interpreter.
Galway going well also, Des, sharing the top spot with the Dubs.
Yeah, the Tribesmen take on Monaghan on Sunday in a game that'll never appear in the same sentence as the word pretty.
Apart from just now.
What? Martin O'Neill's named a rejuvenated squad ahead of the friendly against Turkey. O'Neill's hand forced somewhat by the retirement of Daryl Murphy and Wes Houlihan.
Ah, Wes!
Eamon Dunphy there. Tony O'Donoghue has been talking to Martin O'Neill.
Martin O'Neill, the addition of young Declan Rice is an exciting prospect, isn't he?
I can't believe you have the audacity to ask me that. They're all exciting prospects, Tony.
Are you encouraged by the youth of some of the new additions to the squad?
Is the Pope a Catholic? If so, he should come play for us, not for Northern Ireland. He's probably played at a higher level than most of the players I can pick. Oh, I should have taken the Stoke job.
Anyone from Galway in the squad, Des?
Yeah, no.
Coming up after the break, Paddy O'Gorman meets some of the few non-sports people who appeared in court this week.
JD, man.
Hi, guys. It's Amy Huber, Mam. I'm so Instagramming that. Did you know that along with being a figurative mother of two beautiful books and some stunning TV series and being a mother figure to my huge social media following, I'm looking forward to having my last proper Mother's Day with Brian and the kids this year, because now Ryle Nugent's giving up working 10 to 3 in RTE, I'm worried he'll be over even more.
But!
Miriam here. The reason I'm Ireland's most loved mother is just down to numbers. I'd be great as the nation's mother, the president. But with the noises your man is making, I'll probably be a grandmother by the time I finally get into the Oris, genuinely. Blowing it on show. Oh, I love Mother's Day because it always falls around Lough Éile Pádraic when I'm released from the wilds of Orna Gee for my annual day on the telly to bring you all the vomit-soaked action from the parade. Oh, Toshé, ufosuk!
Hello, Ireland. This is Melania. This year I spent Mother's Day like I spend all other days, desperately clinging to my child, because if I ever stop looking at him, I'm scared he'll become like other Trump children. You know, soulless monsters with the eyes of killers. Happy Mother's Day. Send help.
Sup guys, it's the Taoiseach. While I'm obviously not like an actual mother, I do go to a club called Mother, being Ireland's first openly gig-loving Taoiseach. Also, since I don't believe in traditional gender roles, then I think I'm both the daddy and the mammy of the country. So all together now,
Happy Mother's Day!
Hashtag Leo for mothers.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk. Move the dial.
Yeah, good morning. Here to discuss the Disclosures Tribunal. We're joined on the line by Garda Deputy Under Assistant Commissioner Fiacla McGillafekel.
Hello.
Now, Fiacla, I've been keeping an eye on the Tribunal when I'm Googling new sponsors for the show.
Yeah.
Mercedes, perhaps. Well, what are your thoughts?
Well, Pat, being a Garda, the only vehicle I've ever been in is a Ford Mondeo.
No, I meant, what do you think about these startling revelations at the Tribunal?
Let me tell you now, Bucko.
Yeah.
The Garda proceed with all due haste, all day, every day.
Sure.
Falsifying reports and statistics to make us look good. And then that blackguard McCabe undoes everything by breaking...
The law?
No, Gardaí do that all the time.
Oh.
Breaking the number one rule in the Garda handbook.
Yeah.
Revealing state secrets.
Right.
About the dossing that goes on in the force.
But he is a bright, diligent Garda.
Oh, a right smart bucko, there's no doubt about that.
I must say, I feel a kinship with McCabe. He's an intelligent man doing his best in a crumbling organisation that isn't worthy to have him.
Jeez.
I think of him whenever I'm in TV3 or News Talk.
Sergeant McCabe brings nothing but shame on the Gardaí with all the notes he be taking. If he needed me writing something down,
yeah,
he could have been writing some of the 2 million breathalyzer reports we falsified.
Oh.
Some days my arm cramped up so bad I couldn't play the full 2 hours of handball at lunch.
What would you think of Gargi who came forward with evidence of malicious texts?
Well, I do not foresee any self-respecting member of the force proceeding in that regard.
For logistical reasons?
No, it's because Gardaí can't hold on to their phones long enough to be able to forward any texts on.
Oh.
Sure, between Kalanan and Noreen, we've lost so many phones, the best way to get us is to ring one of the chippers about Temple Moor. Sure, they'll love us at the car phone warehouse.
They'd be a fabulous sponsor for my show.
Anyway, this whole tribunal has taken the focus away from all the good work of Gardaí, morning, noon and...
Night?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. A guard of working nights.
Right, well, there we leave it. Join me tomorrow when I'll have more rabble-rousing debates, namely, who will I decide to get my sponsor to be? Somebody with a track record of spending a massive amount of money on something long and drawn out with little interest to audiences. The Charlton Tribunal would be a perfect sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and, trying to keep his foot out of his mouth, White House Communications Director, Hope Hicks.
Thank you. Because I'm such a great president, the best, I've ensured that the White House door is always open and constantly revolving. The lamestream media say our administration is in chaos. Fake news. No chaos, just tremendous energy. Isn't that right, Hope? But she's left.
Gone.
Really? But I didn't even try to grab her by the...
Mike's on, Mr. President.
Mike's on? Who's he? Did he quit as well? Doesn't matter. I pick my inner circle well and often, like my nose. There's been so many great guys and so many great nicknames. Sloppy Steve Bannon, Tony Mooch Scaramucci, Sean Great and Bridesmaids Spicer, Gary Conehead. Oh, he's gone too. It's tough working here. It's hard for people to keep up with my unique take on the truth and find time to check their mail for subpoenas. But I'm doing great. Much better than the Oscars, by the way. Lowest ratings in history. Some Mexican makes a movie about a lady who sleeps with a fish and it wins? I don't get it. Why are people so interested in the story of a woman who made love to a wet sea monster? And how do I stop Stormy Daniels from talking about it?
Donald, remember we said no mentioning that woman.
Melodian, my darling wife. I was just saying how hard it is to work for me.
They should try being married to you. You need nerves of steel.
Steel. My second favorite material after deep-fried chicken skin. This week, we've started putting higher tariffs on steel imports. If you're erecting a building, you need American steel. American steel erections will never let you down. But enough about me and Stormy Daniels. Malanka?
Gone.
Finally, I have declared March to be Irish American Heritage Month. We owe so much to the Irish, like JFK, John Fried Kentucky, or Irish actors like Jared Butler in P.S. I Love Your Accent, or entrepreneurs like the breakfast cereal leprechaun who also sings with you too. Melancholia, you're back! I knew you wouldn't let me weather this stormy alone.
Putin insists I not leave until end of first term.
What a guy. I hope he wins his next election.
Should be easier than last time. This one is actually in Russia.
I love you, Ivanka. Melania, whatever it is. May God bless you and may God bless the remains of this fine country.
Murph's my man. Where's Fiscal? It's his round.
Minister for Finance. He literally can't organise a bun fight in a bakery.
Sorry, bakery?
Oh yeah, this pub we're in, the authentic Brooklyn Wonder Emporium. It's also a pop-up micro bakery. They use wild lager yeast to bake their own bread. Cleaned up during the beast last week, man.
Yeah, I thought the IPA had a bit of a bready aftertaste, TBH.
Yeast of Eden. Yeah, the beers are not great, but Hosier drinks in here all the time, so, you know, it's a great spot to be seen. Oh, is that Rosie Davison over there?
Oh my God, where?
Oh no, Sol's. Just a very thin slice of white bread.
Ugh. Anyway, what are we going to do, Murph?
It's okay, man. They have Hino on tap. I can make them put it in a jam jar so people still think you're cool.
Not the beer, dude. The country. It's in bits.
Oh, that.
My beloved strategic communications unit has faked newsed itself out of a job.
Look, we could just disband it and start a new one. Call it the Communications Research Association Project. Yeah, C-R-A-P. Oh. Crap.
It's not just that, though.
No?
The honeymoon is suddenly over.
Ugh.
Before, the country was in a complete shambles, but everyone still loved me.
Yeah.
My self-satisfaction levels have gone from Boomy Roberti to post-crash Cowan.
Ugh.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, Irish water is back in the news.
I know, I'm having a complete mare with it.
Oh, is your water gone as well?
No, it's part of my bloody department. What are the chances? Homelessness and water? Why do I get all the hard stuff? I can barely dress myself. I still need a YouTube video to do my tie every morning.
The hospitals are in chaos, the McCabe thing. You know it's a bad week when it's actually a relief to be talking about...
What?
You know, the thing. Oh,
Simon Coveney.
No, abortion.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I don't know, Murphs. Maybe we were just too cool for Ireland. Yeah. You've got that sweet beard and a TV heartthrob, brother.
You're a total ledge bag with an array of novelty socks and a way with a hard hat.
Do you think people will actually turn back to baldy Micheál Martin and his band of high-carb, saturated fats gobshites?
Hey, no, don't be even thinking like that. Look, there's Fiscal. Fiscal, let's get you another beer, Tish.
Evening, fellas.
Fiscal, it's your round, dude.
I only have a certain amount of money.
Don't start that.
And I only have a certain amount of water.
What?
I need to get home to fill up some buckets before they switch it off for the night.
Fiscal.
See ya, bye.
This night can't get any worse.
Look, Tish, cheer up. Worst case scenario, the Shinners get into power and we have to take orders from shouty Lou McDonald. I know it'll cheer you up. Some bread? I'll order us some fancy bread.
No.
Everyone loves bread.
Ugh.
Gluten-free, so it tastes stale, even when it's fresh.
Good morning, I'm Dobbo, and before I take you to the 9 o'clock news, we just have time to talk to you about the actual news. Listen up. It's been announced that the world's two most unlikable leaders have agreed to meet each other. Yes, a crazed, nuke-mad dictator is meeting an overweight buffoon with absurd hair. I'll let you decide which is which. Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un meeting finally proves that humanity has fallen and we're living in an alternate reality. I'd say pray for the world, but God's clearly given up. Meanwhile, Amazon has announced it's received permission to build yet another data centre in Ireland. Would it be too much to ask our tech multinationals to actually build something that gives us some half-decent jobs? Oh, fantastic, another data centre. That's three security guards and a guy to mow the lawns 12 times a year. Go Ireland! Data centres. We're turning into the world's hard drive, and delighted as I am that North America is storing billions of dirty techs here, I can't help but feel it would be better if we developed some actual USPs, rather than we just don't charge tax and have some of the loosest data protection laws an evil corporation could ask for. Ireland, the home of the world's naughty photos. St. Patrick would be proud. Finally, the slow death of the government's strategic communications unit continues apace, with much gnashing and wailing about what is essentially Leo Varadkar trying and failing to give himself a multi-million euro pat on his own back. The problem is that there isn't anything inherently wrong with a communications unit, it's that the government doesn't have any real achievements to communicate. Despite being in power for 7 years, the government's only achievement to date is not being Fianna Fáil, and frankly, even that's wearing a bit thin. Strategic communications, what we really could do with is strategic competence, and that's why the country didn't buy it. Ireland 2040, a plan for 22 years from now. We can't extend a tram line without shutting down the capital for half a decade. There's hundreds of people on hospital trolleys every night, and getting worse, and when the first gust of wind or flake of snow falls, every public service shuts down, whether there's snow in the area or not. So cry me a river, Leo. Never mind your strategic communications, give us strategic competence. Right, the sun is up and this newsman is putting his script down. It's time to slip out of this suit and into a glass of Pinot Noir. And by the way, Ireland, if you're listening to this on a podcast, the least you can do is subscribe, you ill-informed cretins. Enjoy the rest of your lobotomized weekend.